Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Stockton, California, and earned an MA degree in music from California State University. He was the organist for the Crystal Cathedral's Hour of Power from 1976 to 1993, and on August 3rd, 2003, he lost his left arm in an automobile accident. Today, he's a motivational speaker and gives organ concerts. The author of Champions Plus, his name, Mark Thalander, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Mark Thalander, who for many years was the organist for the Crystal Cathedral's Hour of Power. Mark, welcome. What an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. Great to be with you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. Well, my mother, when she was around 12 years old, was going to have her first piano lesson. They lived on a farm in North Dakota, and she fell off that horse and broke her leg and never did get to have her piano lesson. But when I was conceived, she and her church pianist prayed for 9 months that I would become a church musician. So sometimes people ask me, when did I decide to go into church music? And I really think that was probably decided for me before I was born. My father worked in the post office in both Grand Forks and Fargo, North Dakota, and then was transferred to California, and that's where I went to elementary school and junior high and high school. An interesting thing happened when I was in fifth grade. My parents won an organ for 4 weeks with 4 weeks of lessons, and I was able to take those lessons. And then I came home from school one day, and the organ was gone, and I was very sad, but came home the next day, and there was a piano. And somehow my parents knew that I needed a strong piano background before I would move on to the organ. So I started taking piano lessons and moved very rapidly and really loved it a lot. And my parents eventually had to ask me to stop practicing so much because they didn't want me to have a one-track mind.
Hmm. What's the biggest thing, Mark, you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
I think from my mother I would have learned that both of them exhibited a very strong faith at home and in all that they did. From my mother, I learned that it was possible to take care of a family, work part-time, be a Sunday school teacher, she was president of Women's Ministries, she was secretary to the church board. So I learned that it was possible to lead a full life and also be very involved in leadership in the church. From my father, I learned a very fine work ethic, which had stayed with me through high school and through all of these years, because he was very committed to not only his full-time jobs, but also his part-time positions and his work in the church serving on the board, and was always doing things with excellence.
We're talking to Mark Thalander, world-class organist, motivational speaker. Mark, music, it transcends cultures, languages, ethnicity. Talk to us about the magic of music.
Well, as you know, music is the international language, and especially playing any instrument, but organ is really, really king of the instruments, as Mozart said, and it's able to touch people with its majesty and grandeur, yet in its quietness it can communicate peace. So on the organ we're able to do many, many things with many stops, reeds, flutes, strings, in order to communicate those types of feelings to people who might be listening, whether it's in church or in a concert situation.
How was it you joined the Crystal Cathedral and Music Ministry in 1976?
I had some friends that were visiting from North Dakota, and they wanted to attend a service at the church in Garden Grove, so we selected a Sunday evening service. And in the bulletin, there happened to be two little lines that there was a position open in the music ministry. And at that time, I was facilitating a church music administration class at Southern California College. And I thought, oh, this would be some good information that I could use in a lecture, questions that a large church might ask in an interview. So it did turn out that I received an interview, and then I received a phone call telling me that I had received the position. And so I started working there in January of 1976 and thought, oh, it might be a really nice position for maybe 3 months or 6 months. I was getting $3 an hour, and 9 months later, I was raised to $3.25 an hour, and ended up staying there for 18 years.
Talk to us. Tell us about the famous Crystal Cathedral.
Well, I was privileged to work there before the Crystal Cathedral was built. We had many services in the old building, which is now called the Arboretum, and people would wait in line all during the previous services to get into the next service. And so there would have been three Sunday morning services and a Sunday evening service. And we also had outdoor seating as well as people sitting in cars. So with the thousands of people that were there, it was felt that a new building that seated more people was necessary. And finally, the Crystal Cathedral design came to the board and to the congregation from Philip Johnson, and that was the design that was selected to move forward with the building of the cathedral. We had $1 million Sunday, where the congregation gave $1 million or more, and the hole was dug to the cathedral, and eventually in September of 1980, the building was dedicated.
We're talking to Mark Thelander, who played the organ, which was the fifth largest organ in the world, 273 ranks, five manual pipe organ. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Mark Thelander, whose parents won an organ for 1 month with four lessons when he was in fifth grade, and it changed the world. Mark, tell us about the late, great Robert H. Schuller.
Well, I was privileged to work with Dr. Schuller and his wife, Arvella, as I mentioned previously, for 18 years. And just a few months ago, I attended the funeral service for Dr. Robert H. Schuller, and what a legacy he has left in the hearts and minds of millions of people across the world, particularly through his books and through the Hour of Power television ministry.
He built that Crystal Cathedral. It was designed by Philip Johnson.
Yes, that's correct.
I believe that Gorbachev actually at some point said, "We want his weekly show throughout Russia." Wasn't that true?
That is correct. I remember attending a Saturday evening prayer service in the Crystal Cathedral the day before the first telecast was to go into Russia.
He was famous for his possibility thinker's creed. Could you share that with us, please?
Yes, this was even set to music for the children's choirs there in Garden Grove, and it is: when faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep on striving until I climb over, find a pass through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine with God's help.
That was Dr. Robert Schuller's Possibility Thinker's Creed. Mark, what does that creed say to you?
I began watching The Hour of Power before I started working there, and had watched it for many years. And Dr. Schuller's book on self-love and some other books really were instrumental in my faith formation when I was in college. And I learned from his motivational speaking and his writings that I actually could move on whenever I had a situation that I thought might be insurmountable. And his words encouraged me, as well as the scripture verses that he used. Particularly one verse became my life verse, and that's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When I had my accident, which I'm sure you'll ask me a few questions about as we continue, some people were not surprised that I moved forward in the positive way I did, because they said that I was truly grounded in possibility thinking. So I try to live this possibility thinker's creed and climb over the mountain, pass through it, or tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine.
You mentioned Robert Schuller's words. He would have a 15, 20-minute sermon where he would use one word with 4, 5, 6 letters, and that would be the whole sermon. Explained the magic of how he did that.
Well, I think he felt that using one word where each letter stood for something really helped people remember through that next week his thoughts and his encouragement and his inspiration. He'd like the Crystal Cathedral to be thought of as the inspiration center, and also sometimes likened it to a car wash, where once a week the car got dirty and needed to go through a car wash and be cleansed. And when people came to Sunday services, he realized they came to be filled and to be cleansed and motivated to go out for the next week. And when people would say to him, "Where is your church?" he would say, "Oh, well, let's see. Now, this is Tuesday at 2 o'clock. My church, my people are in schools teaching. My people are at the police department, in the fire department. My people are attorneys, lawyers, doctors, nurses." So he felt that that time on Sunday was to equip the ministers of the church, all of the membership, to go out during the week and reach people that in their areas where Dr. Schuller could not go.
Let's talk about inspirational quotes. He was famous for them. He would come up with new ones in his books, etc. If you could give us our thoughts on two. The first one, "Inch by inch, it's a cinch."
Exactly. And "yard by yard, anything is hard." And we also heard, "meter by meter, life can be sweeter." And I found, particularly after my accident, that "inch by inch, anything's a cinch" really came into play, because I could only do small things, and then I would need to rest, and then I would do another small thing, another inch, and "inch by inch, anything's a cinch" became such a part of my life. And also when I was teaching, I had the opportunity at several colleges and universities to teach class piano. And when I did that, many of these students had never studied piano before, so I made up my own little saying based on "inch by inch, anything's a cinch," and I suggested to the students that we consider that measure by measure, life is a pleasure. And I said, you can look at the whole piece you're learning, and you need to look at the whole piece from the beginning, but why don't you just take a measure at a time, and after you learn each measure, then you can put the whole piece together, and then truly you will think that measure by measure, life is a pleasure.
One more. "Tough times never last, but tough people do."
Yes, that is a great saying, and it was a bestseller book on the New York Times bestseller list, and I think a lot of people related to that because at that time the book came out, a lot of people were going through tough times, particularly financially, and to be able to read that book and to watch Dr. Schuller on television, that he would say to them, this is not going to last, but tough times never last, but tough people do, and you will make it through, and you will be able to use the encouraging words from Scripture as well as the Possibility Thinker's Creed and move through this problem, move through the valley of the shadow of death, and come out on the other side with great accomplishment.
He would have fabulous music every week and also have a guest speaker. These were phenomenal people.
Yes.
Were there one or two that really stood out for you that you walked away and said, wow?
Well, the person I can think of that just comes to my mind right now is Dave Dravecki, who was at the Crystal Cathedral several times, and he was on the San Francisco Giants baseball team. And looking back upon it now, he lost an arm due to cancer, I believe, and has a ministry of his own and a foundation. And when I lost my arm, I received a very kind letter and some books from Dave Dravecki. And then also Johnny Tata Erickson, her ministry was in touch with me as well. And so very encouraging words from people who had gone through tough times themselves. And that encouraged me then to reach out to other people who might be going through their own tough times to let them know that there are those of us who have been through tough times and they can pull through too.
As we go to a break, here's Mark Thelander performing a portion of How Great Thou Art. How Great Thou Art. How Great Thou Art. Mark Thelander. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Mark Thelander, world's inspirational speaker, and gives organ concerts all over the world. Mark, let's go back 12 years. Tomorrow will be 12 years, August 3rd, 2003. Tell us about that day in your life.
Well, it started out being a very exciting morning for me. It was really a wonderful summer in that I had played at Carnegie Hall in New York City, St. Patrick's Cathedral, was a guest for the Royal College of Canadian Organists meeting in Ottawa, Canada, and I could go on and on, but Washington, D.C. was part of that, where I played for a reenactment of ABC radio broadcast I had played for in college. A friend of mine from college had found my name and email address in a new alumni directory that had been published and emailed me and asked if I could come to her church in Worcester, Massachusetts on Sunday, August 3rd, which I did. But on the way back from Worcester, Massachusetts to Ogunquit, Maine, there was a severe summer thunderstorm, and people like me that are mostly Californians don't expect this type of thing in the summer. And it was raining so hard that I missed the Ogunquit exit because I couldn't see the sign. So I went through the toll booth and took the next exit in Wells, Maine, which was about 10 or 11 miles up the road. And when I exited, I lost control of the vehicle and went into a ditch, rolled over, and then up over a barricade into the oncoming traffic. onto the turnpike and had lost 50 to 70% of my blood. And it was, I was all alone hanging into the passenger seat. And a woman began speaking to me and saying, can you get out of your seatbelt? Keep talking to me. Can you turn off the engine? And was giving me instruction. And I said, no, I can't get out of my seatbelt, but I can turn off the engine. And it was at that point that I, even though my glasses had been thrown off, I could see that the windshield was all red and knew that I had lost a lot of blood. So I prayed, Lord, if there's anything I should do, please help me. And my right hand went over into the hole where my left arm had been pulled out of the socket. And later, some doctors had told me that I probably saved my own life by stopping the gushing of the blood. And then I said to the woman, is help on the way? And she said, yes, I can see the lights of the paramedics right now. And so the paramedics were there and got me out of the vehicle. I heard them say, we don't know how we're going to get him out of here. So I thought, I'll just try to be as calm as possible and let them do their work. So a lot of glass was coming in and a lot of rain, and they got me out into the ambulance. And I said, I just want you to know I'm an organist and a pianist, and it's important that I have my arm. And so I was taken care of, rushed to the Maine Medical Center in Portland, Maine, where when they asked me to sign an amputation release form, I realized that my left arm was in pretty serious condition and broken in a number of places and crushed. And I knew then that in order to save my life, they might have to make that amputation happen, which they did.
Have you ever met that woman again?
I really tried to find who that woman might have been, because I wanted to send her a thank you note. I thought it took quite a lot of courage for one person to get out in a storm like that. And the emergency services didn't seem to have any record of her, and never did find that woman. But I do feel that God took care of me in a very special way by sending her to me to help me when I was all alone through those few minutes when I almost died.
We're talking to Mark Philander, one of the world's greatest organists, and 12 years ago, tomorrow, lost his left arm in an automobile accident. When you woke up from surgery, what did you think? What did you do? Were you mad at God?
No, I wasn't. I think based previously on some of the things we've chatted about, Dr. Schuller's daughter, one of his daughters, had lost a left leg in a motorcycle accident when she was a teenager. So I was aware of some of the process. And also, when I woke up from surgery, because I have phantom pain even today and can feel that left arm always with me, I misunderstood them and thought they said that they were able to save the arm. And a nurse went over to a friend of mine who had arrived and said, I don't think he really understands that we had to take it. And so he came over and he said, they had to amputate your left arm. And I said, oh, wow. And I went back to sleep. I was pretty heavily sedated, and even a couple of days later, I had a malfunctioning morphine machine, and it was giving me twice as much as I was supposed to have. And a friend who is a nurse at another hospital walked in and saw that my lungs were filling with fluid and my eyes were going behind my head, and he pressed that little button on the wall and said, stat, stat, and I was surrounded by doctors and nurses. Of course, I had put myself into a morphine overdose, not knowing that the machine was malfunctioning. So I was going through a tunnel with a little white light, and I felt so peaceful. And then I felt people slapping me on the face. And I thought to myself, I don't think this is how Jesus would welcome me into heaven. But anyway, I was back, and the nurses said, we have you back. You were on a morphine overdose. And so that was the second day after the accident. So on Sunday night, I came very near death at the accident site. And then Tuesday, I became very close to death again on a morphine overdose. So I'm very, all that to say, I'm very grateful for life. And because I was saved from those near-death experiences, I really didn't ever have anger toward God, because God met me in those deep times in a very special and unique way. And I didn't really have much depression either. I kind of moved from the stage of realizing that it had happened and moving on. And one of the ways that I was able to move on was that composers started sending me music that they had written for me for right hand and pedals. And then the night of my accident, my father had an accident of his own and fell in California and broke his hip. And a week later, he died. So in my hospital room, I was helping my brother plan my father's funeral. And then when I got back to California, we had a memorial service, and I was asked to play a piece at that memorial service. So I went from the accident and the recovery and occupational therapy and physical therapy into trying new things at the organ and getting right back into it, so that when I got back to California, I would be able to play something in memory of my father.
We're talking to Mark Philander, who plays the organ now, one of the best in the world, with just the right hand and his 2 feet. And here's a portion of Ode to Joy. Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Mark Philander, the author of Champions Plus. Let's go back 12 years, August 3rd, 2003. And God speaks to you that morning and says, Mark, if you get in the car, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to lose your left arm. I'll give you a choice whether you get in the car or not. What would you tell God?
I would be... I think I would be at a loss for words, because I've always trusted God to care for me, and I think I have been blessed in knowing that God holds the future, but that God knows the details, and I do not. So that would have been a real shocking situation, and I suppose I would have said, God, what do you want me to do? My life is yours. And one thing I learned from the accident is that I always felt that I was in the driver's seat and God was in the passenger seat, and I was following God's will in my life. But I suppose one thing I learned that day, and that would be that we switched places, and that I let God take control and be in the driver's seat. And I moved over to the passenger seat so that whatever adventure God wanted to take me on, I was there for the ride and there to serve God with my music. And also I said to God, if anybody ever asks me to share my story, because most people probably know that organists rarely talk, so for me to share is not the easiest thing, but I did promise God that I would share God's faithfulness to me both before and after the accident, if I could be any type of a small encouragement to anyone who might be listening.
If there's a listener tonight that has recently lost a limb, what would you say to that listener?
I would just review things that I've already said as far as the inch by inch, anything's a cinch. There was a chapter in one of Dr. Schuller's books, and I think it might have been on the Be Happy Attitudes, but the chapter title was, I Need Help, I Can't Do It Alone. And I think for any of us who have gone through anything that includes a loss of a limb or limbs, we can't do everything. And so I've learned that sometimes if I can't do something on my own, I just write it down. And if someone comes over and says, is there anything I can help you with? I'll say, yes, let me look at my list. Let's see what we can do, what we can accomplish today because of your gift of time that you're giving to me. I have phantom pain all the time. Sometimes it's very, very painful, extremely painful, with shooting pains in my fingers. So if someone has lost a limb, I totally understand where you're coming from. And sometimes we just need to rest. And getting back to some of the things my parents taught me, I certainly learned a lot of scripture verses and hymn texts. And I think whatever we put into our minds will come back when we really need it. So some of the times when I'm in pain, there will be a hymn text that will come back to me, or a scripture verse that will encourage me. And I also know that a lot of people follow me where I'm playing and are praying for me, and that's very comforting as well.
If you want to follow Mark, it's www.markthalander, T-H-A-L-L-A-N-D-E-R, foundation.org. Mark Thalander, foundation.org. You give organ concerts and motivational speeches all over the world, Mark. What's your basic message in that speech?
I think that the basic message that I would try to convey is the faithfulness of God, and that sometimes we don't have all of the answers, but if we trust in God who loves us, we will be able to make it through any situation with success.
Your book, Champions Plus, what do you want us to take from this book?
That book was written by a friend of mine who was a pastor at the Crystal Cathedral when I served there, and also by me and from other friends. And I think the main thing we would love people to be able to use in their lives when they read that book is once again to see God's faithfulness from birth through tragedy and turning tragedy into triumph. And it would be the amazing opportunity to encourage people that God knows each person's life, and God will guide through deep waters, and God will be with us, whether we're in the low valley or on the high mountaintop. God is there.
Mark, tell us about the Mark Thalander Foundation.
Well, the foundation was formed as a result of a benefit concert. There were two concerts given in Southern California after my accident, and one concert featured a choir, and about 800 people came to sing in that choir. And it was such a grand and glorious occasion that when the organizers met to debrief, they felt it would be wonderful to start a nonprofit foundation to be able to continue having festivals like this and bringing people from various churches together. So the foundation was formed, and we were originally going to present two concerts, and it's turned out now in the we're celebrating our 10th anniversary, and we have our 28th concert coming up in Auburn, Maine on August 30th, and then on April 3rd, 2016, we'll be having a festival on the island of Maui. So we've done a lot of festivals, considering we just started with having two in mind, but we've had festivals in Hawaii and both Northern and Southern California, Ottawa, Canada, Missouri, and Maine and Massachusetts.
If you want to learn more, www.markthalanderfoundation.org. Tomorrow marks 12 years that you lost your left arm. As you look back these past 12 years, what are the biggest things you've learned, Mark Thalander?
I think that the biggest thing that I've learned is to rely upon Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But additionally, my brother suggested Philippians 1:6 at the beginning of this year, our 10th anniversary year for the foundation, and that is, God who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And so this year particularly, trusting in God who began a good work to bring it to completion has been my goal.
Mark Thalander, what a shining example of letting go and letting God.
Yes, thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Grasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. Believe it.